Thank you for taking the time to visit us online. We would love to meet you in person, so here's some information just for you. Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m., and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m., and this is all happening at 6310 Lyons Road, Garland, Texas. We hope that you enjoy this message by Pastor Troy DeFeo. Have a great day.
And for the Father God, today, that's what we want to do. That is my prayer, that each one of us will just come as we are today. Lord, we don't need to bring anything with us besides our hearts to be open-minded, to be willing to not see what we're going to just get out of this message, but what we can give to this message. We thank you, Lord, for that you're a God that completely wants to be involved in our life. And the things that maybe some of us may be going through in our life, through seasons of changes, I pray that, Lord, that each one of us, each day, would be sanctified with you. We'd continue to renew our hearts with you. And I pray that, Father, if there's anyone here that is struggling with their faith, that's asking questions and maybe reaching out, wondering where you are in their life. Maybe there's people right now in Canton and different other places that are asking a lot of tough questions. Lord, we take this time right now to lift up that community. For we know so well what it's like to go through something like this in our area. And so we pray for them. We pray for those that lost loved ones. We pray for those that lost possessions that they've worked so hard for. But I pray that they won't lose their hope and their faith in you. Lord, let this be your service. Let us do everything that we can to honor you today. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for being here, and especially for our visitors today, for coming, for our guests, for being here. And we understand that you can be anywhere. And we thank you so much for choosing Living Hope as your place of worship this morning. The children are actually, with Janice's help, have been... with my series, have been having some plants here, and they've been growing and got the soil in there, and it's watered, and they started watering their plants today. And as you begin to think about the worship service, and as you begin to take off these scriptures, I pray that you would be able to visualize what the kids may be learning right now. What you may be taking from this service. I don't want this just to be a 2,000-year-old story. My prayer is that each one of us would begin to take these words out of these pages and be able to apply these into our life today. Last week, I started a new series called The Life of Our Lord. The Life of Our Lord. I believe that we're all here for different reasons. But as I said last week, I hope it's for one main reason. I hope it's not just because of the Italian-themed lunch going on next, after this. I hope it's not just to connect with somebody you haven't seen since last week. Although that's great too. I hope, and my prayer is, that you will visualize that Jesus Christ is sitting with us. The Holy Spirit, His presence is with us today. And when you leave this place, even more so, that same Holy Spirit that was in these people that we talk about is the same Holy Spirit that's inside us, that same power. That same gift, that same ability to go and invest their life into other people. We are only here for such a short time in this building. The church needs to leave. And the church needs to go and be the church out in our community. We may need to go out and be in Canton right now. We may need to be lifting these people up in prayer. But I want to be able to stress to you, when Jesus was talking through this first parable, he was doing this in a boat. A multitude of people were following him. A multitude of people have already been witnessing, seeing him, already doing all these different miracles, hearing his teachings, already claiming to be the Messiah, the Son of God, hearing things for the first time and wondering where their heart is going to come into play when they're hearing all and watching all these things that Jesus is saying. So the multitude is coming. The harvest is out and watching and hearing and listening. And Jesus knows his audience. That's the one thing I want you to remember. Jesus knows his audience of where every single person is in their life spiritually, where their heart is. And what is remarkable, as we turn to Mark chapter 4, we're going to see his first parable, his first story, as he deals with a group of people. And that's my prayer today. My prayer is that we lift up these pages from this great book, that we bring it to application and allow Jesus to become Lord of our life. Last week I shared with you that the parable, a parable is the Greek word meaning parabole, means to cast along side of life. Meaning Jesus used, and one person said, that relatable earthly stories with a heavenly meaning behind it, a spiritual purpose behind it. He cast it alongside of life with each and every single person he came in contact with. That's what I love about Jesus. From the very beginning of time, he was always interested in people. See, the Pharisees and so many other people came and they were interested just in the religion. Notice that Jesus was not a religious person. He was all about not religion. He was all about relationships. All about relationships with people. He cast it along his life with the fishermen and the tent makers, his family members, murderers and adulterers, farmers, tax collectors, religious Pharisees. Even during that time as a Jew, even the lonely Samaritans that were cast away and weren't associated with. And he said, you know what? I have a divine appointment with somebody. Even his close disciples couldn't get that. They didn't understand that. He said, but no, I have an appointment with somebody. And goes and meets with a young lady sitting at the well, drawing water and sharing a cup with this person. Everyone, and I mean everyone, was important to Jesus Christ. You are important to Jesus Christ. You were meant to know him personally. In Mark chapter 4, as I mentioned last week, over 60 times, Jesus spoke in parables. One third of all of his teachings were done in a matter that related with the people. And last week, as we began and we talked about just that first parable, I want to take us back as just as a reminder. Now, he spoke, we look at chapter 4, 1 through 12, in one way. He spoke to the people in a way that maybe they just couldn't understand. But what I love about Christ is that if you don't understand the parable, if you don't understand where he's going with, well, this parable actually helps you try to understand a little bit better. So we're going to focus on this side today. We're going to focus on the 13 through 20 part. Last week I talked about the soil of the heart, because that's what the soil is. It's all about the heart. Verse 13 through 15, if you open up your word. And he said to them, "Do you not understand the parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" All 60 of them, and even more that's probably not even recorded. One third of all my teachings. How will you understand it? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear it, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And I mentioned last week, the soil of a hard heart. This is when a person's soil, when their heart is extremely hard. And I mentioned a person just last week when Marilyn O'Hara, a person back that was prominent, was an atheist that went around and made her claim to fame of basically taking prayer out of school. Taking prayer out of school. She invested her life into taking away the seed, taking away God's word, taking away a prayer, a relationship that was meant. Everything that Jesus, that was meant to have that personal one-on-one connection, she spent her life investing, taking that away. And in the original Greek, it's talked about the wayside road that was hard due to people walking along the same path over and over. The harvest was plentiful, Jesus says. And so people would walk along this side of this harvest over and over and over. On the side of the harvest, and the animals would trample, and the people would walk along this. Matter of fact, most people walked this area. This is where it was all just the main path to walk. And our world is like that, where most people walk. To the point that it was turning to concrete. It's still soil, but it was turning hard as rock. And the seeds over time, people as believers in Jesus Christ would take the seeds and begin to throw them out, take God's word and throw them out because it was soil. This is what Jesus Christ was doing. See, he knows who his audience is. So what happened was in this time, the bird would come along and take the seed off the road because it didn't have time to germinate. The soil was too hard. And so Jesus basically says this. Satan is going to come and take the seed away. It's interesting that Jesus talks about Satan. And I mentioned this last week. He's the real deal. It's not a popular thing to talk about a lot of times in churches. And sometimes people feel very uncomfortable. I want to make sure that you understand. I'm not going to shy away from God's word because it may be uncomfortable to hear things. God's word talked about it. He's a real person. He's a real deity. He was kicked out of heaven because of his pride and wanted to be like God. His number one agenda in life is not to give you a bad day. His number one agenda is to kill and destroy and take the seed spiritually. And if he can destroy you here on earth and he can destroy you for all of eternity, then he's won. And the problem is that most of our world, unfortunately, has hard hearts that's been walked on over and over and over. And Satan says, you know what? I don't even need to worry about these people. I want to go after the people where the seed is actually beginning to germinate in their soil. He can leave those people alone. They're doing exactly what he wants. And that's a bad place to be, obviously. He left Madeline O'Hara alone. Matter of fact, he was applauding all the way. And Satan, his job was scooping up the seeds. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew 13:19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed has sown beside the road. It's a bad place to be. The second type of soil. The soil of a shallow heart. Remember, Jesus knows his audience. Verse 16 and 17. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who then, they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Isn't that awesome? They receive it with gladness. They walk the aisle. They raise their hands, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. See, the stony places were very, very common in Palestine. Oftentimes, it was like limestone rock covering this road of this thin layer of topsoil. You see, the soil looks ready. How many in our life, especially if you've been a Christian for some time, where you see and you interact with people and you say, oh my gosh, they're so nice and they're so lovely and they're great prospects to come into church, and you love associating with these type of people. They are great and their soil looks ready. And so you begin to start planting the seed. You sow the seeds in these people. And it will germinate. And it will begin to start springing up. And it looks very promising. But because there was no depth, because there was no good root system, because the soil was shallow, the sun and the wind and the rain and the weather and the seasons of life destroys it, and it produces no fruit. But we see people like this. People who respect Jesus a lot. Do you know these people? People that respect Jesus. See, I've always had a respect for God because I grew up in church. The problem is I never had a relationship with God. I've always respected God. I just never had a relationship with Him. We see this all the time during Easter and Christmas. We see this during times of crises. We put Jesus on almost like a spare tire. When things are going down and you begin that spiritual flat. Why? Because you got a little bit of a root right here. You got a little bit of growth going. You heard a message. You came forward. You did something. Something began to germinate in you. You heard and received that seed with gladness. And you, all of a sudden, when you realize when you're in a part of your life and you say, I can't take it anymore, God. I'm at my bottom. I will take you on. And spiritually, you got that flat tire and you get someone to help you put it on. And you're going about 30 miles an hour down the road until you get to a discount tire. While everything is going pretty good because you got to where you needed to go and you're back on track and everything is fine. And for months, it's been going pretty good. Or for weeks, it's been going pretty good. Or maybe you had the best day of your life because the Italian food was so good after this message. And then all of a sudden, you get back home and you forgot everything that ever happened to you. And you changed the tire with something else. It's that shallow faith. It's that shallow heart. See, many Christians who choose to be only a fan of Christ and not a follower of Christ withers away. And Jesus saw this in the rich man. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He said. Go and sell everything. What must I do to get to your kingdom? What must I do to follow you? Well, let me first go do this. Well, let me go first bury them. Let me go first do this and let me do that. And when we're done coming up with all 5,000 excuses, then I'll be ready to follow you when I'm 94. Do I want to be a fan of Christ or do I want to be a follower of Christ? See, God knows His audience. God says, I want to be your permanent. And I feel a lot of times the churches and youth camps and revival services and all these things, we get tangled up with emotional faith. We want that first class view of the ocean from the balcony. We just don't want to get into the water. Oh, it's beautiful over there. I'm going to stay here for weeks. Would you like to go get into the water? Oh, no. I don't even know what's inside that thing. Oh, well, come on. It's really, it's fun in there. Yes, there's sharks. Yes, there's jellyfish. Yes, there's dolphins. It's beautiful, though. You're going to enjoy it. No, I paid for first class over here. I gave $4,000 to the service. I'll just enjoy it back here. They want enough of God to be saved, just not too much to be changed. See, I believe that a faith that saves you has to be a faith that changes you. If not, it's not me. See, God knows you're His audience. I have no idea who's saved. I don't know whose roots are shallow or fell on stony places. I'm not that person. I got this heart to deal with each and every day. You have your heart to deal with each and every day. But Jesus says in Matthew 7:20, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That is not Troy DeFeo's words. That is Jesus Christ's words. Even the demons believe and shudder. The third soil is a crowded heart. Verse 18 and 19. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of the things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Here we see great potential of people, God wanting to use them. Every one of us, God wants and has a purpose and a plan for every single one of us in our life. He doesn't want us to sit on our pews. He doesn't want us to sit on the balconies. He doesn't want us to sit in the stands. He wants us to play for Him. He wants us to live for Him. He wants us to be sowing for Him. He knows, because the harvest is plentiful, but the what? The workers are what? Are few. He wants you because He knows His audience. The root, though, is choked out by many things that get in the way. It takes a hold of their life and it begins to not allow the fruit to begin to produce. Jesus ran across these people all the time. The rich people, the legalistic people, the busy people, the worrisome people. I love what David Guzik, a theologian, said. You could say the soil was too fertile because everything was growing in there. I can relate to that. I think sometimes my soil is too fertile. I want everything growing. I want everything to happen. I can't wait. I want to produce fruit here. I want this. And then I even want the world things that come in my way. I want everything in my life. And the problem is that a lot of times my spiritual things that are the most important get choked out. And they can't see fruit there because I'm too hung up on this or that in my life. I get busy. And I sure get worried about a lot of things in my life. A sickness can do that. A great job and money and possessions can do that. Sometimes we can get too hung up on numbers and we forget about really what's important. Even pastors get hung up on too many of the wrong things and we get choked out. And we wonder why the fruit is not growing in the church. I can relate to that. Where do you want to live for God? What's pressing on you? What's taking you, if anything, off course? See, you may be a seasoned Christian, but the problem is you're drifting completely the wrong way. And experienced Christians and people with deeper roots still can be choked out and drift. In January 2014, there was a couple of men, and one of them, his name was Jose Ivan. And this is him, who lived in Mexico and went sailing with his friend, an experienced sailor that already has made trips from Mexico to El Salvador many times. And on his journey to El Salvador, this experienced sailor, this experienced Christian and his friend, through rough tides, began to drift and went the wrong direction. And what was meant for a great trip, what was meant for just a normal day, what was meant for just business as usual, these two men sailed 8,300 miles the wrong direction and drifted off course from Mexico to El Salvador until he ended up in the Marshall Islands. His friend did not make it. And somehow Jose, Ivan, made it. But his drift off course was 1 year and 4 months later. 16 months he drifted off course and was on an island 8,300 miles from where he was planning on going until he was finally rescued. That's a long ways. See, in life, there's no guarantees. Even if you think you know the way, even if you think you got it under control, even if you say, I'm going to be a believer, I'm going to be a Christian because nothing's going to happen to me. God will spare me from everything. He did with Job. He did with the apostles. No, it doesn't work that way. We think it's going to be easy when we're going to be Christians. Jesus, when he decided at age 30 to go ahead and begin his ministry for the next 3 years because he knew his purpose, it was Satan, the first person that showed up on his doorstep. He's real. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I will overcome the world. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. In life, there's no guarantees. Anything that becomes your Lord, though, that becomes your first priority over Jesus, can drift you away from who is destined to be first in your life, even for experienced Christians that know the way. Anything can take you adrift. Anything. Anything. It doesn't matter what it is. Why? Because Satan and you know what is your weakness. Why did Jesus say this? Because he knows his audience. A healthy heart really only has room for one, and that's the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, who knows the way, who knows the truth, who knows your life. If you're being choked out by pride, worry, discontentment, addictions, bitterness, maybe this unforgiving heart towards someone, it could take you off course. It could take you to places that you don't want to go. Seek first the kingdom of God, he says, and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. The last soil, as we finish up, the last and final soil Jesus speaks about in this parable is the heart that is being sanctified daily. Jesus knows his audience. I am curious right now, by this time, I wonder how long and how many people of that multitude is still sitting in that audience when Jesus is speaking. I wonder if it went from 3,000 to 300 by now. I wonder in here, the audience who's tuned Jesus out, or who's still hanging right now? Who's left? Because the fourth soil is the soil of a cultivated heart. It's the good soil. It's the good soil. And verse 20 as I close, but these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. The picture here we get in the Greek is that those who truly receive the Lord in their life, they say, Lord, I don't want you just to save me. I want you to change me. I don't want to have these things become Lord of my life. I want you to be Lord of my life, and there's only room for one. I don't want to sit on the balcony anymore. I don't care if I have a suite. I want to get into the water, and I don't know what's in the water, but I am going to start off with my toes, and I'm going to hold your hand, and I'm going to go, and I'm going to plunge, and I'm going to stay in the water, because I know that that's where you want me to be with the rest of your fishers of men and women. See, the fruit is out in the ocean 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. The fruit is not in the church. It's being the church out in the world. The harvest is unbelievable. It's just the workers are starting to fade. And we know that in the end times, it's not supposed to get better. We know that apostate, we know that the falling away of believers are going to come more at a rapid rate. Why? Because we know what's in the water. See, God is not concerned where you have been, but He's more concerned of where you are right now in your life. Why? Because He knows His audience. He's not concerned where you've been. He's not concerned who you've been associating with. He's not concerned what you've been doing for the past however many years of your life. He's not concerned with all the things that you entangled yourself up with, all the times that things have become Lord of your life. He's concerned of where you are right now in your life. And during the time in the reign of World War II, Adolf Hitler, there was a man by the name of Kurt Wagner. And Kurt was a devoted man who not only idolized, not only worshiped his god, small G-O-D, of Adolf Hitler, but he was also the devoted personal bodyguard of Adolf Hitler. He was devoted to him. And you guys know the story. And when the war was over, his god, Hitler, committed suicide in a bunker. Wagner's home was destroyed. His country was in shambles and with no hope at all. None whatsoever. He headed for a bridge to also follow who he idolized to commit suicide. Kurt Wagner was 8,300 miles off course and on his own island on a bridge of devastation. But in God's providence, there was a friend that was walking by and saw Kurt extremely upset and asking him what he was doing. And in time, he got his friend to come with him that day because he said, hey, will you join me for some coffee and donuts at the YMCA, of all places? And as he was sitting there in a chair drinking coffee, he found a copy of an old tract called God's Simple Plan of Salvation. A booklet that was just so happens to be on a chair when the bodyguard of Hitler comes in. In God's sovereignty, Kurt opened it up and began to read it with a hard heart. He read it with disdain, with contempt, with reservation. He read it where he didn't really care, but he was interested and he didn't have anything else to do besides drink his coffee. His heart was not in it because it came from the United States. And he realized that his God was already dead. His Lord was already gone. But for some reason, he picked it up again with a little bit more interest. His heart was becoming a little shallow. And then he put it down again. And over time and over hours, as he sat and he drank his coffee and pondered where his life was at, he picked it up again. And he finally yelled out through God's purpose, "Is there anyone here who can help me understand this track?" And the soil became cultivated. The soil of his heart had become good. And lo and behold, a Methodist minister heard his cry for help. And at that moment, Kurt Wagner was saved twice. One from the bridge, and one for all of eternity. Kurt Wagner, the bodyguard of Adolf Hitler, the number one killer of all times, became a minister at two Methodist churches in the suburbs of Frankfurt. He built a four-story building to help young men off the streets and help them get their lives back together, helping them spiritually save their life. See, it was God's plan from the beginning. It was God's providence. It was God's sovereignty. It was God's purpose. The same for you and the same for me. See, 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 says, "This is good. And please, God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth." Even Adolf Hitler. Even Kurt Wagner. Even Troy DeFeo. Even you. It's also God's greatest desire to follow the same cry and determination to not just be saved, but to truly be changed, to produce fruit. See, the kids are starting right now to learn. It's our prayer that we hope that this will turn into fruit, but we got to take care of it. God's going to cultivate it. Should be our prayer every day for the sower of the seeds. John 15:8 said, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples, not just to be fans, but to be followers." This is the parable of the four soils. This is the parable of the four hearts. And this is your calling on your life. And my prayer is that you come, each and every one of you, even if experienced, a day is going to come when you may, through some season, may begin to go drifting. I want you to know that God is with you at all times. Just come as you are. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you that, God, that you spoke this first parable for a reason. It's a parable that, Father, that could be uncomfortable for all of us, for the audience that's listening. Because it's a parable that deals with something that a lot of times we don't want to deal with, and that's our heart. Maybe religion has burned us. Maybe churches has burned us. Maybe your word somehow has been misconstrued in a way that Satan has done something to mix it all up. And we've become hardened. Maybe in our life we germinated with this seed, but we just became shallow with you. We kind of took you from the distance, from the balcony view, and said, I realize now what the cost really is, and I'm not there yet. I don't want to get into the water. And I know that, Lord, that even us experienced people that have been knowing Christ for some time, You knew the audience because you knew the people that were following you. You knew that the disciples who were so close to you that was watching everything. Getting that experience one-on-one with that close relationship, but then still struggling and still denying you all the way up to the point of the cross. At times in our life, we act like we don't even know you in the world, like Peter did, because we're shameful. We have the respect for you, but just at times it's just so hard. And we just don't step out in obedience because we realize what the cost is. And I pray that, Lord, as we understand that the good soil is being cultivated in each one of us, that the cost is great from becoming not just a fan, but a follower of you. I pray each day we'll be sanctified in you. I pray each day that we will learn how to follow you better and fall in love with you for the God that fell in love with us, our Lord. I don't want you just to save me, Father. I want you to become Lord of my life each and day. Till the day that I meet you and you say, well done, my good and faithful servants. I don't want just to call upon your name, Lord. I want to know you by first name. This is your time, Lord. This is your time for the whole church to radically change their lives with you. For you know the audience. In Christ's name, amen.